It's time now for the first installment in our occasional series, Wyoming Stories. This is a project where we record the memories and stories of Wyoming residents or people with some connection to Wyoming.
We're going to start with three Japanese Americans who were incarcerated at the Heart Mountain Relocation Center near Cody. Heart Mountain was one of 10 internment camps where Japanese Americans were confined during World War II. There's now a museum on the site, and each year the Heart Mountain Foundation hosts an annual pilgrimage. During this year's pilgrimage, Willow Belden sat down with several former internees and produced this piece.
My name is Sam Mihara. I was born in San Francisco in 1933, and I was 9 years old when Pearl Harbor took place, and the government decided to then remove anyone of Japanese ancestry from the West Coast and place them in camps. The one that our family went to was here at Heart Mountain in Wyoming. We weren't told much at all. What we saw was a printed sign in front of our homes, lamp posts or walls, the sign basically saying that all persons of Japanese ancestry will move. And they put us on trains, some 600, 700 people per train. And we got on these trains and rode for 3 days and nights, not knowing where we were going. We just stayed on the train until it finally wound up here in northern Wyoming. Our Heart Mountain guards met us, and we were placed on the backs of army trucks. And then the truck proceeded to take us through the main gate and into our designated barrack inside the Heart Mountain camp. Each barrack had six rooms. Four of us were inside one room. There was a pot-bellied stove fired by coal in one corner. There were army cots. And we went to a common toilet and washroom area in the middle of the block. So that was kind of difficult in the wintertime, having to go out in a terrible Wyoming winter. That winter, it got down to 28 degrees below zero, and the wind was howling at like 50 miles an hour. That was very, very difficult. And we were wearing California clothing. The government did not tell us where we were going. We had a mess hall, one per every half a block. Everybody in general had bad food at the start, potatoes and bread. Once in a while, we would have something like a mutton or lamb. So we grew our own vegetables. They created farms, and we had a chicken farm, and we had a pig farm. And so our diet got better within about a year. It took a year for the farms to get established. I was in grammar school, and it was quite difficult at the outset. There were complaints from the local people who were saying that new schools should not be built for the camp residents because the locals don't have new schools. Why should the camp residents have new schools? And so I wound up going into grammar schools in barracks. There was no furniture. We sat on the floor at the start. There were very few books. There were not enough certified teachers, and the parents insisted on certification because they wanted the kids to continue on to college. So the government hired several teachers, white teachers from around the country, and they lived in the camp. That was interesting. They had their own barracks, kind of a special set of barracks for people who lived and worked from the outside. No one escaped as such because we're in the middle of nowhere, and everybody in the area knew who we were by looking at us. And after some time, the camp allowed people, knowing that we were not going to run away, they had day passes. And I remember one day we had a day pass, and so my dad took my brother and I and my mother to Cody. Unfortunately, many businesses did not want us, and there were signs that said we would not be allowed in, and that was a very difficult part of living there, knowing the people did not want us there. the bottom line of all of this is it should not have happened. We were guaranteed our civil rights by the Constitution, and the system failed.
My name is Shigeru Yabu. I was born in San Francisco, California. Nobody told us we were going to Wyoming. We got on the train, and finally, late one evening, we landed up in Heart Mountain. The very next day, my friend, Akira Yoshimura, comes over, and let's go exploring. So nearby, there was a lot of little sand dunes, and we saw a little hole. And so we got one of the sagebrushes and got a branch and poked it. And out came a bug about this big. And he said, hey, you know, that will make a good pet. Not having any brothers, having pet was very important. Well, later on, we found out it was a scorpion. So we put it back, in, you know, towards the hole and says goodbye. One time, there was our next-door neighbor, a fellow by the name of Ken Sewell. He was known as the expert marksmanship with slingshots. So one of the kids said, there's a magpie nest way up high. Let's see if we could hit it. And next thing you know, you could see the nest wobbling. It hit the ground, it rolled. Little did we know that there was a magpie baby bird in there. One of the little older boys said, do you know, that bird's going to die. I said, how do you know? Because the mother bird cannot lift the magpie baby bird up to another nest. I says, that bird's going to live. It's going to be my bird, like a brother. I still don't know whether it was a male or female, but I called it Maggie. So became great friends. When I went to school, I would say, hello, Maggie. When I came home, I say, hello, Maggie. When I went to play with my friends, I would say, instead of saying goodbye, I say, hello, Maggie. One day, as I was just about ready to go up the stair, I say, hello, Maggie. And I heard, hello, Maggie. And I looked, thinking somebody's playing a trick with me. And nobody's around. So I went in front of the cage. I looked at that bird. Eye to eye, and I said, hello, Maggie. And that bird said, hello, Maggie. Well, next thing you know, it picked up other words. Come on, Maggie. And my mother used to say, what you doing? And the bird would say, what you doing? It learned to whistle. And that bird could laugh and mimic you exactly the way you laugh. It was August the 14th, 1945. The sirens went off for the first time. We were playing basketball outside, and we knew the war ended. And Maggie and I would talk about someday we're going to go to San Francisco. And probably you won't be able to live with us, but I'm going to donate you to the San Francisco Zoo. Then I could come and visit you each weekend. And middle of October, Maggie was on the bottom of the cage, eyes flickering. So Maggie slept under my bed. I got up early in the morning, and she was hard as a rock. I dug a hole. Her favorite toys went in burial. Gave my T-shirt to Maggie. I buried it, made a cross. I was the only one there. And it was a sad moment. Maggie did not want to leave Wyoming nor Heart Mountain.
Thank you. I'm Takashi Hoshizaki, and from Los Angeles. I was 16 years old when all of this happened. We finally ended up in Heart Mountain. Well, a typical day for me was basically working in the mess hall. I had the afternoons free, so then that was the time that I took classes to finish my high school degree. But eventually I got my draft notice, and I didn't report it. I said, no, I'm not going. Maybe a week or so later, I don't know who, the marshal, the FBI, so on, came and picked me up and began questioning me. And so I responded truthfully. And so then after that, I was just hauled around to Cody County Jail, and eventually I ended up in Casper, Wyoming, in their jail. Later on, I find out that here there were 63 of us. We had filled up most of the county jails in the state of Wyoming. When the trial started in Cheyenne, they took us all down there, and so that we were jammed into the Cheyenne. I think that was a federal court, federal jail. Some of us ended up sleeping on the floor, and it was kind of a nightmare there. We were sentenced to 3 years, went to McNeil Island, which is in the Puget Sound. As a general rule, after you serve one-third of your sentence, then you get a parole hearing. And we did not get that parole hearing. And the reason we found out that the WRA director had written a letter to the prison authorities to keep us in as long as they could because they were afraid that the recruitment for the Army would be disrupted. We served just 2 years. We got out. And then a year or so later, Harry Truman was in office, and then he gave us a Christmas pardon to all the draft resistors. And so we ended up with nothing on our records on that. I then went to the local college. That was the Los Angeles City College. 2 years there, and then went to UCLA, got my bachelor's degree in science. And then while I was working for my master's degree, I get my second draft notice. So here I am, you know, we're all out, as we were saying, that release us, and then we would go into the Army. Well, family was out. I was now released. I had my full citizenship rights and so forth. So I was able to finish my master's. Then I was drafted and then went into the Army. So I think I served double duty. So Heart Mountain was really the only camp that had an organized resistance. And I think as time goes on, Heart Mountain will be known just for the resistance. And so it's going to be interesting 25 years from now what the exhibits and what the people will be saying.
That was Sam Mihara, Shigeru Yabu, and Takashi Hoshizaki. All three were interned at the Heart Mountain Relocation Center near Cody during World War II. Hoshizaki later served in the U.S. Army Medical Corps and eventually became a research scientist at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Shigeru Yabu served in the Navy and later wrote a children's book about his magpie called Hello Maggie. Sam Mihara became a rocket scientist with Boeing and later started his own high-tech consulting firm. He regularly travels around the country speaking about his experiences at Heart Mountain.